Jesus Christ is many things to many people. Today we shall see him as the living water who satisfies the famished spirit of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who drink of the living water need never thirst again, for Jesus Christ truly satisfies. In chapter 3 of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus was confronted with a learned religious man. In chapter 4, he deals with a degraded, immoral woman. How true it is that our God is no respecter of persons. We notice in verse 7, as Jesus was seated on the well, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. You see, water was scarce in the hot climates of the East, so it was the common procedure to make frequent trips to the well. Usually, the task fell upon the women. The appearance of the Samaritan woman at the well at this particular time was not a mere happenstance. Unknown to her, this was a divine appointment. Not waiting for her to speak, our Lord made a request, "Give me to drink." Of course, the Lord Jesus knew all about this woman's wicked past. He did not begin by reproving or rebuking her, but by making a simple request. As we see throughout the Gospels, the Lord Jesus was the master personal worker. Constantly, he spoke of the heavenly in terms of the earthly, that his hearers might understand. Also, we find him adhering to one direct line of thought. Being beside a well, it seems only natural that he should speak about the water of life. Thus, he began with the word drink. In his own inimitable way, he communicated the truth in a manner in which it could be received into the heart. The Apostle John explains the absence of Christ's disciples at this time in verse 8. "For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." Now the word meat is used here, and in 16 other places in the New Testament means food. Though our Lord was the creator of the earth, which produced the food for man to eat, and though he miraculously provided bread and fish for thousands out on the desert, he rarely performed a miracle for himself. Though he could have provided for himself and the disciples, as God had done for Elijah, he chose that they should buy food like anyone else. Now notice the Samaritan woman's reply to Christ's plea for water in verse 9. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." That a Jew would make such a request of a Samaritan was an unheard-of thing, for the Jews despised the Samaritans. As the master personal worker, our Lord never permitted himself to become engrossed in needless discussions. Thus, ignoring the woman's question, he answered her in verse 9, saying, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The bewildered woman replied in verse 11, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" Like Nicodemus, this woman could not perceive spiritual truth. She interpreted our Lord's words in the light of the physical. She realized that the well was 75 or 85 feet deep and that Jesus had no rope and no container of any kind, thus her question. But she had a further question. Notice verse 12. "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Genesis chapter 32 tells of Jacob wrestling with the mysterious stranger at Peniel and crying, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Further, Jacob declared, "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." On that memorable night, not only was Jacob's thigh thrown out of joint, but his stubborn will was forever broken. Who wrestled with Jacob? Who was it that was greater than he? None other than the Son of God. Christ could have told the woman of Samaria this story and identified himself, But again, he completely ignored her reasoning as graciously he presented the truth. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now the mystery seems to become understandable. Christ was speaking about two different kinds of water, this water and the water that I shall give him. The woman realized suddenly that the water of which Jesus was speaking about was unknown to her. Doubtless she had trudged to Jacob's well many, many times, but a spring of water bubbling up with a fresh supply moment by moment that would never run dry was very different from Jacob's well. The Samaritan woman responded to Christ's invitation in verse 15, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." She thought, by receiving the water of life, there would be no need of coming to Jacob's well again. The truth was not clear to her as yet. If, however, one is willing to go this far, the Lord will respond and give the water of life. I want to ask you a question. Have you drunk of the water of life, Christ Jesus? If not, God is ready. Do it now. The water is flowing freely. The water of God's grace, that you might be saved and have everlasting life. Call on the Lord Jesus and say, "Oh, Jesus, I know I've sinned, but I realize that you died for my sins on the cross, and right now I claim you as my Savior and Lord." You know, I find all the time that people put this off. They think, well, not just now, some other day. Someday after my kids get through school and everything and I settle down, maybe after I retire, I'll come to God. But I find that the older a person gets, the more difficult it is for him to believe. His heart becomes hard. He becomes so concerned about the things of the flesh and this world that he has no interest in spiritual things. That's why it is important that you come to Christ now, and especially if you're a young man or a young woman. Come now before your mind gets so defiled that you'll never want the truth. You'll want only lust and the things that satisfy the flesh. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He gave every ounce of his blood that you might be saved, and the blood does the trick. God says in his word, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And so I pray today that you'll come to the Savior and let him work in your life. He can change your life. Maybe you're on drugs. He can take the lust away from you. Maybe you're an alcoholic. God can deliver you. God can do all things if only you'll let him. So will you bow your head and say, "Jesus, come into my life and save me"? Then follow him. Get in a good church where the Bible is taught. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the well that never runs dry. May thirsty souls drink today and find in Christ that satisfying water of life, that they may know peace and blessing as they follow him step by step. This I pray in his name. Amen.